Welcome to MicroWorth Talks. I'm your host, Xavier Gallego, VP of Brand and Marketing, and I'm delighted to take you with me on our journey to grow the future of materials. Thank you for tuning in. Today we are going to talk with Daniel Martin, one of the top makeup artists in the world. He's going to give us some of his insights around the fashion and beauty industry. He's going to tell us about his collaboration with MicroWorks, and we will discover some of the next projects that he has in his horizon. So stay tuned. It's going to be a fun one. Hi, we're here with Daniel Martin, makeup artist and also a global director of artistry and education at Tatcha. Yes. Did I say that right?
You said it right, my friend.
Here we go. Hi. Well, welcome to the podcast. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
And you just told me that that's a new thing, right? Like that title doesn't exist. And why is that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a makeup artist. And a lot of times with makeup artists, the end goal in one's career is to be a creative director for a color brand. A color brand like NARS or MAC Cosmetics or any of those heritage existing brands. But Vicky Tsai, who's the founder of Tatcha, her and I have been friends for over 10 years. And when she got acquired by Unilever, she knew that my end goal was to be a creative director for a brand. And I've been kind of creating products for her on the side, since she's had Tatcha. So when this opportunity came about, she was like, look, I want to give you this opportunity to have your dream job.
Here we go.
And she created this position for me, and it's been incredibly awesome to work with her, to work with the team in Japan, and to also be the first Asian American to have a position like this at a cosmetic brand. So it's a total honor.
Congratulations. That sounds like a big deal.
Thanks. It's so much learning and so much creating, which I love.
I can imagine. I would love to talk a little bit about the making of a new cosmetic product. I think it's going to be super interesting. But before we get into that, normally I start asking the question on when was the first time that you heard the word mycelium?
The first time I heard the word mycelium, I have to be honest, it was on my friend Electra Wiedemann's Instagram account. I believe she's a friend
of one of your... Yeah, she's a good friend of MicroWorks. Yeah, a friend of Matt Schooling, our CEO.
Yeah, so I've known Electra for, 15 years. And she did an event for you guys during New York Fashion Week, and she had posted about it. And I was so intrigued because I love nature. I love sustainability. I love where, the world is headed to. And I love new technology. And what I saw was something really, really cool. And that's when I first discovered mycelium.
Wow. That was a good moment. I still remember that 2020 launch with Reishi and Electra helping us out, getting the word out. And we had an amazing dinner and some events in a pop-up. She's awesome. She's awesome. She's still collaborating with us. We did a little live interview, good memories of those times. And I think that we support each other still. So that's really cool. I imagine that the story of how you heard mycelium is related to the story of how you learn about MicroWorks, which is kind of new. It only happens when we interview people from outside MicroWorks, because here, as you can imagine, we have people that they've heard the word mycelium way before the company. So that's cool. That's good to know that we are helping get the word out and folks are discovering mycelium through MicroWorks. That's amazing.
So completely.
Kudos to us. I want to get back to your heritage, your the way that you learn makeup artistry. Actually, I say the word that I couldn't say before. And that's cool. Huh? Because makeup or styling in general, how was that beginning in that career for you before you got where you got today?
So I kind of came up, I was working at MAC Cosmetics when I was in college, and I was in college, I wanted to go into art history. And so much of my world working in makeup correlated with art history, but I didn't want to be in a museum. I learned that, you know, it was session work on set, collaborating with other artists, you know, hairdresser, photographer was more my speed. So that's kind of like how I started and how I became familiar with makeup. I grew up in Seattle in the late 80s, early 90s. So wow. It was when grunge was happening, I wanted to be in New York as a club kid. And I've always known since I was 12 that I wanted to be in New York City. So that was the goal. I dropped out of college, moved to the East Coast, became a club kid. And that's kind of like how I explored the makeup, because I was getting my friends ready to go out. And at that point, I needed a job. I needed to really find my career. So I wound up assisting in getting my esthetician's license at Innovative Concept Salon.
Can you share with me a couple of breaking points, moments where your career, that you think that you remember that were like really helpful to get you where you are today?
Yeah, I think, you know, having that opportunity to, you know, coming up to New York and working New York Fashion Week, and this was like, again, in the late 90s, when Fashion Week was at Bryant Park at the tent. And that was, you know, that experience was something I'm so grateful for, because I feel like there's so many things that happen to work behind the scenes of a fashion show. And it's much more than just the creative process. So much of it is about how you treat people and how you work with a group. So having that experience definitely helped. Working in editorial and then, you know, working with celebrities and understanding that, you know, their needs are a bit different than a model's needs, and how you have to, you know, approach what you do with them in particular. But I think the biggest thing for me was when I was working with a designer, and she made me really understand and look at my point of view. Back then, we had portfolios that we had to carry around. We didn't have cell phones with, you know, Instagram or anything like that. And we literally had to go and meet people, sit down, have them look at your portfolio, and to try to get a job. Mm-hmm. And this was before I got an agent. So I met with this bridal designer, because she was looking for a new makeup artist to work with. And she's like, yeah, I see that you do beautiful work, but I don't see a point of view. That always stuck with me. For me as an artist, like, you know, the great artists out there who have this legacy of work, that made me truly understand my point of view as a makeup artist. Yeah. And how to take care of the skin, how I respect the skin through my work. So I think, you know, 20 plus years later, when you're able to find that point of view, it really helps in understanding your work as a whole.
Yeah, you always need a challenge, I guess. In that moment, you got the challenge. It's like you don't have a point of view. You probably thought, I'm going to show you. let me work on that.
right. I mean, some people think that their work speaks for itself, but you know, depending on who's perceiving your work, will they then, you know, be the judge of wanting to work with you or not?
Wow. It's always really inspiring to hear when was a turning point in the career of someone, because there's always that moment where there's a truth involved. You know, someone tells you the truth in your face, and then is when you actually overcome that truth and you're stronger. Anyway, we don't gonna get too philosophical with it, but but I am a big believer of the truth in the face, you know. As a way to grow as a person. And I'm glad that happened in a time that you could accept it, in a time that you had time to recover from it, and now look at you. You're a superstar. I know that you work with a lot of celebrities, and people can check out your Instagram and see you working with all the names and really interesting people. But is there a celebrity that you want to work with that you haven't yet?
Oh, God, that's such a great question.
I know. I should send that before the podcast so you can prepare.
I mean, I would love to work with Tilda Swinton, because I just feel like she to me is such an icon of creativity. And so much of my work is about enhancing one's natural beauty. And it's not even about the transformation. It's so much about me being able to just honor her, her own natural beauty, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I've been so fortunate to work with all these incredible, inspiring, strong women throughout my career. And it's not so much about the transformation, but what I've been able to give them in these moments of their own careers, how I've been a supporting role. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And actually, it's a good segue to the next question that I had, because I was like, well, you know, folks might be asking, well, what is a biotech company from Emeryville working with a makeup artist based in New York, working with all the celebrities? And there is some sort of commonality, right? Like, what do you see that is like the things that we have in common?
I mean, I think what was so interesting for me as an artist, and for also someone who's very much into, not a lot of people understand my world in the sense that if you come from fashion, you're working like 4 to 6 months ahead and you're understanding where trends are going. You're trying to understand where culture is moving. And in my world of beauty, sustainability and technology it moves in such a fast way. And then I think for me, understanding your material and working with, because there's so much, there's a lot of waste in cosmetics, the packaging to the product to how it's made. It can be very wasteful. And there's a lot of things in the cosmetics world that can be made sustainably, can be made honestly, can be made naturally. And the respect that you guys have created using mycelium as a everyday material, but understanding the value of it, that's something that's lacking in cosmetics, because there are so many brands out there and so many lines out there. And I was attracted by the fact that you can create something so beautiful out of something naturally that took time.
Yeah.
But then you appreciate
a lot of time.
Yeah. In my own brain, just because of how I think, I was like, gosh, how can I intertwine this with my own value of and ritual of what I do? And that's when I reached out to you guys, because I was like, you guys have created something that my world doesn't know about, but there is a lot of value in it that needs to be shared and to understood. So how can we do this? So during the pandemic was literally when we were corresponding, not even meeting each other in person, but just taking the time to sit on these calls, you know, through Zoom, just to get acquainted. And I think that process is even more valuable than what we eventually created together, because we took the time to understand each other's worlds and to really see how one can complement the other.
Yeah. And from our end, from my perspective as well, it's like when we were getting to know each other, the more we talked, the more things that I saw, they would align, you know, like you started really on point. Like it's a type of art that is unknown or very little part of the population understand it as an art. And it is. You're looking at nature, you're observing it. And for you, nature is like a phase, and you are trying to enhance it or elevated it. And we were in our time, Field Ross was observing mycelia and trying to understand it and drawing it. And in by observation, we were growing things, right? And I thought that was really interesting. Also that we consider ourselves as weird artists, because, you know, it's not a form of art that is like the classic one, you know, it's just like very using nature and observing nature and influencing nature to create art is a practice that feel mastered and it's very weird. It's very new, very different. So we had like a lot of things in common. But then it's also like during the pandemic, all these chats that we had, they were really inspiring. And hearing you and your point of view on things was always I remember a highlight of the day, to be honest. And that's why like we ended up with this beautiful collaboration where, you know, you told us that you use a lot of your brush roll, and we say, guess what? We're going to do the brush roll. Like, we are going to make you a brush roll made of our material so you can have that as an object to cherish, to celebrate us, to as a conversation, as a talking point. Before we get into the brush roll itself, you described me, I remember one of the calls, that it's part of your ritual, like your tools. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear more about what is that ritual that you use? Like, what is the things that you do before you start a makeup session? Like, why do you have a ritual, first of all?
I mean, if you look at time and you look at history, every culture has its own beauty ritual, some sort of aesthetic, something that's been passed down through generations. And it's this preparation of the face before, you know, they start their day, before they, you know, head out into the world. Literally every culture has their own kind of ritual. And for me, my ritual to get someone ready for whatever event they're doing is preparing the face before I put makeup on it. So the brush roll is part of my ritual in the sense that, you know, I keep my tools in it. It's the one thing that I can't, you know, work without, you know, when I set up my station. There's a whole process of how I lay things out. And then the brush roll is always the final lay down because it's the one thing that I can tackle the face with because it's holding so many of my tools. So the brush roll to me is just part of that arsenal of getting yourself together and getting yourself ready to present yourself to the world. But through that process, my ritual of skincare is that. And then the tools that I keep my brush roll in, that's just as important.
Mm. And now it's a little more special, isn't it? When it's made of of reishi. You've been using it for a while. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I love the flexibility of it in the sense that, you know, when people think it's leather, and then they hear the story of mycelium, they're like, what? Hmm. It's so unexpected. And it's making a lot of people understand the beauty of natural materials. Because I feel like there's still ignorance in the sense that alternative is plastic, and it's not. You can have a beautiful, luxurious product that's created with mycelium. And then I think once they hear the story of mycelium and understand why it's such a valuable commodity, the respect for that and the appreciation of it is just heightened. And then they understand the value, the monetary value of why a leather alternative is just as precious.
Well, there's many things to talk about here. Like the fact that you care about the material that is made your brush roll, you know, the fact that it's part of your ritual right now, that is a conversational moment that you have with your clients. The fact that you know about mycelium and you probably can explain them how that material is made. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's amazing. Do you, what do you want to do with the brush roll? Like, do you have any ideas of, you know, I know that this is right now is almost like an art object. We have one, you using it, and that's about it. But what are your expectations with this collaboration?
I mean, I would love to, you know, to produce this on such a larger scale, but also too, I feel like allowing people to understand the value is really important because I feel like we've hit a especially in my world of beauty, there's so much waste. And I think what we need to go back to is understanding value. Mm-hmm. And when they see the brush roll and they think it's leather, conventional leather, and it's not, and they understand the history of mycelium, the appreciation of that, it reinstates why we as a race need to find alternative methods of conventional things that we use every single day and why it's important for sustainability to move forward in the future.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to make you a global director of education in artistry here at MycoWorks. That will be your next title, don't you think?
I mean, bring it. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
At the end of the day, you're doing education, and we appreciate you for that, Daniel, so much. I know that you were about to talk about sustainability, but I have a question about it or around it. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I ask everybody, and every single person answers it differently. And I appreciate that because sustainability means nothing in a lot of things. And mm-hmm. and I want to hear from you what sustainability means to you.
I mean, specifically to my world of beauty. I don't think a lot of brands understand, you know, how sustainability works in the sense of economics, society, environment, creating products in a way that affects all three of those pillars. And to really, truly understand sustainability, you need to get to the root of a lot of things. And in my world of beauty, people just think it's just the packaging that's sustainable. But we need to, you know, dive a lot deeper and really understand, especially in color cosmetics, pigments. The creation of pigments in my business is a very dirty, dirty business. Because it does, you know, children mining pigments, which is not a good idea, that, you know, are in these low income cultures, how it's mined, how then it's bought from brands. There's a whole trickle down effect of how retained pigments for cosmetics is created. And I think that's where sustainability in my world of beauty needs to start. Changing how pigments are mined, where they're mined, how it affects that local economy and local society. You know, no pun intended, it's a dirty business. So I think for me, you know, really getting to the root of sustainability in beauty needs to start there.
Yeah, so like transparency to the mm-hmm. smallest detail of the production chain. But I hear you. I love asking the question because I get what I got. You know, like these answers, like it industry driven or very different. So thanks for being honest. You were in an event yesterday or recently. What's next for you? What are you going to do?
I'm right now in award season mayhem. So I'm in LA right now. I was just at the Golden Globes yesterday, and from January to March, it's award season for me. So I'm very fortunate to work with Michelle Yeoh, who's up for a lot of nominations this season. So, you know, I'll be spending time with her here in LA. But, you know, between that and my other clients and my other work, it's a busy time. But also exciting because I feel like, you know, we're at a point in the world right now where, you know, under new COVID situations and protocols, we're trying to, you know, live and work with it now. So I feel like we're kind of doing that. So it's nice to, you know, be here on the West Coast considering all the rain and
the madness that's happening here.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So it's been busy and it's going to be busy, but it's all good.
Yeah, well, best of luck with everything. I know you don't need it because you have the talent. we're here if you ever come to San Francisco, we're here to host you. You know, yes, that we love you, and it's an honor for us to launch this prize roll with you, to have this object, to celebrate our collaboration, and I hope that we can talk soon.
Yeah, me too. So excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Daniel. Take care, okay?
You too.
Ciao. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed as much as I did hosting it. We are thrilled to have you with us in our journey. So if you want to learn more, please follow our Instagram page at MikeWorks for our latest news and more. This episode is being produced by Maddie Nathans, sound editing by Corny Ballardo, content editing by Chantal Otto.